All right. Good afternoon. So first I want to start with a question. Have any of you ever heard about the hydraulic fracturing or sand mining that goes on in Wisconsin? Can you raise your hand if you have? All right, so there's a few that still haven't. Today I hope you learn a little bit more about it. Through my project of effects of mining and land reclamation on soil carbon storage and flux. My name is Amanda French, and I am from the University of River Falls, Wisconsin. So first, let's start off with some history about the mining in Wisconsin. So we have about 70 industrial sand mines, and the sand can be used for anything from golf course traps to the more familiar use of frac sand for petroleum industry. Over here we have a map of Wisconsin, and all of this orange color here is the sand deposits that we have, and then the red dots are the mines that are spread across the state. So a little bit of information about hydraulic fracturing. It uses sand, water, and a little bit of chemicals in a pressurized form to shoot down into a layer of bedrock that's holding the petroleum product that we're trying to extract. So what happens is it shoots down at high pressures, and it cracks the rock open. It creates fissures. And when these rocks are cracked open, we need something to hold that rock open so we can extract the product. So frac sand is the perfect product for that. As you can see, we have a little map. So we shoot down, and we create some cracks in the rock, and that's frac sand that holds those open. And across the United States, it is a widely used practice. So some questions that we had on impacts of carbon storage at the sand mine in Wisconsin. We wanted to know the effects because they haven't been well studied. So what happens when the soil is disturbed? How much carbon is being released? And then we also want to know, like, the amount of carbon during the three stages that we go through, which are pre-mined, stockpiled, and reclaimed soils. So our research objectives for this project were to compare these three different soils in the soil carbon flux and total carbon. And then our final goal is to see if there is a correlation between the two. So this is the sand mine that I was a researcher at this summer. This is the entire sand mine, and our different plots are circled on here. So we have the pre-mined over here. That was up on a ridge that went like this. So this is a high wall, and this has all been taken down. And this is still up high on a ridge. So we had pre-mined soil and our stockpiled soil here. And then we have our reclamation plot in the red on the other side of the mine. So to look at our three sites a little more, we have our pre-mined soil. So at this site, we took 10 different sites, and we just randomly chose them across a large area. It was clear cut of trees, but the soil had not been disturbed. So this was, again, up on top of the ridge. So on top of the ridge, the soil is not very thick, which leads us to the stockpiled soil. This is our small stockpile of soil that we have from the very thin amount of soil on top of the ridge. At this site, we also chose 10 spots randomly, which was kind of hard to do on our little mound of soil. It was stockpiled for approximately 3 months, and at all three of the sites, we did collect data on the carbon flux and total carbon. Our reclamation plot, it was about 5 acres, and we selected 40 sites across it. It was layered with a crushed rock mixture on the bottom, then a subsoil, and topsoil up on top. We measured the same, the same data was collected at each three of the sites as well. So to collect this data, we used, for carbon flux, we used a LICOR LI8100A survey chamber. Readings were done bi-weekly, and you can see the chamber down here. We did this by pounding in a PVC ring into the ground, and then you just set the soil chamber on top of it. For total carbon, we used the Elementar CNS analyzer here. And we made small tinfoil balls. I'm not sure if anyone's ever done that. It's not very fun. They're about that big. And we took surface samples at each site. And then we analyzed them at the University of Minnesota. So for my data that I collected, this is for carbon flux. So in the middle, we have our stockpiled soil. As you can see, it's a lot higher than the other two sites. This is due to the loose soil having a large amount of macropores that's releasing the carbon very easily. From there, we go to our reclamation site, which is a lot lower because after they layer all the soils down, it is compacted. So it closes all those macropores, so the carbon flux is not able to escape as easily. And then you can see our reference condition for the pre-mined soil. For total carbon, you can see that the reclamation is drastically higher. And we were really hoping to see a correlation in this data connecting to our total flux. Unfortunately, we did not really see that. To compare the two graphs, I have them here side by side for you to look at. So as you can see, reclamation is very minimal in the carbon flux, but on the other hand, total carbon is the greatest for the reclamation site. So in conclusion, when we're looking at the carbon flux, we saw that the amount of carbon being released from the stockpile was a lot greater due to the large macropores. As to the reclamation site, when we look there, it's a lot lower because all those macropores have been closed off due to compaction. The total carbon, on the other hand, is very variable, and it was the first year that we've looked at total carbon, and it did not show a correlation to our total flux, or I'm sorry, carbon flux. So unfortunately, we didn't see that correlation that we were really hoping to see. We are hoping, though, in the future that maybe there will be a correlation that grows between the two. So for my acknowledgments, I'd really like to thank my advisors and bosses, Holly Dollifer and Paul Kivlin. They have taught me so much about the whole process and really have given me this opportunity to expand my knowledge. We also have to be very grateful to the mine owner and mine operators, Superior Silica Sands, and Fred Weber. Without it, we definitely could not do this study. The mine operators were very crucial in helping us haul all of our equipment around and getting around the rough terrain. And of course, my coworkers, Emily and Logan, which had a great time working with both of them this summer. So, thank you. Are there any questions? No? Yeah.
So, what's the impact of this research on the greater industry? What's the proportion of carbon released through fracking that comes from this kind of source?
So, we didn't look at total or the amount of carbon being released as, like, percent of carbon being released during the year. That would be a really great thing to look at, but for this study, we were only looking at the correlation between total carbon versus carbon flux. That's a great idea to try to figure that out, though. What was the other part of the question? I'm sorry.
So
the whole process? Well, if I understand your question correctly, this is the greatest carbon release from the whole process because soil is a carbon sink, so it's storing a lot of carbon. So once we break up that soil, it's starting to release the carbon, and through the whole process of moving it, it's still releasing carbon. And as you could see, that it is reduced when the macropores are closed, but soil always releases some carbon, but when we disturb it, as you saw in the stockpile, it's greatly increased. So did I answer your question?
Yes, very well.
All right, good.